We have two special guests visiting. I have Abuna Matias Nasr, who is one of the leaders of the Coptic movement in Egypt and defending the rights and the human rights of the Copts in Egypt. And he will be with us and he will give the Arabic sermon in the end. And he'll tell us a lot about what's going on over there. He's the one who you see a lot and hear about his name in newspapers and stuff like this. And he's always in Tahrir Square and stuff like this. So we're glad and we're happy to have him. And he will give us the Arabic sermon in the end. We have also a special guest, or actually we don't consider him a guest, a member, Dr. Mark Girgis, who is the brother of Abuna Paul Girgis, and he's with us here, so we'll hear the word of God through him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen.
In a weekend where we spend so much time giving thanks for the blessings that we have received, I can't help but give thanks to God for bringing me back to this church where I receive so many blessings and I'm among my blessed fathers and among beloved family and friends. When I received the invitation to preach for the gospel this weekend, I initially was very excited. I read the gospel of last night's Vesper, and it was wonderful. Christ said to the people, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." I thought, wow, what a kind and warm and welcoming invitation. Everyone is going to have nice and warm feelings. Oh, we all love Jesus. And then somehow the church decided to pair that gospel with today's gospel. Christ found another crowd following him, a whole multitude. And he says, if anyone wants to come to me, you have to hate your parents, you have to hate your wife, your children, and your brothers and sisters, and even deny yourself more than me. I said, wow, what happened? You know, this whole idea of taking your cross and following me are the two contradictory. It's not as nice and warm and fuzzy to think about carrying my cross and we're not gathering hot chocolate and talking about this gospel. Is Christ contradicting himself? Which Christ are we following? Really, there's only one Christ with the same message. We know that Christ desires everyone to come to him. He doesn't desire the death of a single sinner, but rather that everyone should turn from their wickedness and live. That's the Christ who is calling every one of us. It's the same Christ who also says, please come, but come not with lukewarmness, not with faint-heartedness, but come with sincerity, come with devotion, come with faithfulness, come with steadfastness. Is that too much for Christ to ask, who invites all of us for rest, that he should ask something of us? I don't think it is. He says, if you want to be my disciple, disciple. And when we think about the disciples were the special few. They were the in crowd. They were the ones where he revealed the mysteries of the kingdom of God. They were the ones he gave authority to do miracles and to cast out demons. They were the ones that he shared his secrets with. Those were his close and deep followers. He says, if you want to be close to me, you want to be one of those, then what I'm asking is for your devotion and your sincerity. Well, what kind of devotion are you asking for, dear Lord Jesus Christ? He says, to the highest extent. He says, that's it. I want you to come to me, but I want you to love me. With a love that bears all things and believes all things, with a love that hopes all things, and a love that endures all things. I want you to come to me with a love that will never fail. He says, that's all I'm asking. And he says, I want you, which is a very difficult saying for many, to hate, again, parents and spouse and children. And what he means by this is, I want you to love me so much in comparison to the rest of these. He says, I want you to be so devoted to me that should there come a time, which happened to them, that should your family turn on you and say, stop following Christ, I want you to choose me. He says, I want you to count the cost. As if to say, I want you to be faithful to me until death. Until your last breath, that's the kind of faithfulness that I'm asking for. He doesn't say, I would like you to come to some liturgies fairly frequently, and I'd like you to have a good quiet time every once in a while. What he says is, I want all of you. I want you to be completely, only, and all for me. He says, don't deny me or forsake me in situations of persecution or temptation. Count the cost. It's interesting that the church talks about persecution and temptation this week, because when it spoke about the sower and the seed, it was saying some of us will not produce forth fruit because of persecution or temptation. And we said, well, you know, maybe I don't produce as much fruit. You know, I'm tempted. I'm still a Christian. But now Christ says, now because of persecution or temptation, if you want to follow me, you really have to endure. I feel if Christ were to say these same words in the 21st century, if he were saying this to his people in Egypt, our brothers and sisters, he could say it exactly as he did before. He would say, listen to me. You are my people. You are mine. There will be a cost for being a follower of me. For being called a Christian, there is definitely a cross. You're going to see it. Because they hated you, so because they hated me, they're definitely going to hate you. He says, but if you follow me, just follow me until the end. If you're faithful until death, I will give you the crown of eternal life. Even in the midst of persecution, follow me. How would he say it to his children in America? Especially after Black Friday, where his devoted followers were willing to fight against the crowds in the retail stores, where the bold followers would go and get the good deals, where if you were in California, you might even have to fight off other customers who had pepper spray in their hands. That's just one small store in California. We're not all like that. But you all know how to count the cost of a great discount, right? 50% with an extra 20%. We all know how to count the cost in America. We're very good at counting costs, aren't we? We can do major calculations. We understand what a great deal we're getting. He says, I want you to be devoted to me. In Egypt, he says, withstanding persecution. In America, he says, I want you to be devoted to me, withstanding temptations. Withstanding temptations. How loyal are you to me in America? Will you follow me if I ask you, like he asked someone, a rich young ruler, to go and sell all that he has and deny himself, carry his cross, and follow him? It's the same message, but to that one who had a lot of goods, he says, I really want you to understand to get rid of those other things because you have to be loyal to me. You notice how Christ says, deny yourself and carry your, what does he say? He says cross. He doesn't say, carry your velvet satin recliner chair and come and be a follower of me and come have a nice and comfortable life. What if Christ said to us today, here in America, which wouldn't be strange for Christ to ask, unless you deny yourself the iPhone 5, and the iPad 2 or 3, or Facebook, or Angry Birds. I know Angry Birds is a tough one. Or your fancy vacations, or your nice cars, or your big homes, or your alcohol, or your pornography, or yes, even the brand new 52-inch 3D screen TV that we got yesterday on Black Friday. I mean, some of us would say, wait a minute, Christ, Mark, are you being so radical? Would Christ really ask us to give up those things? I mean, really? Thank God we're born in this century and not in that century. Because if he said to carry a cross, what would our response have been? Honestly. I mean, when you saw what it was like for someone to hang on the cross, where people cursed the day they were born. He told them that. What would he tell us? He says, please, just focus on me. just pay a little more attention to me. I mean, does Christ really want me to be that devoted? I mean, listen, Mark, I've married a wife. I bought a cow. I've got lands. Sounds like a familiar parable, which he says in the Gospel of Luke right before this passage about people following him and being devoted. He says, I know you've got excuses. I'm tired of excuses. What I want are sincere, wholehearted followers of Christ. Ask the people in Egypt right now what it's like to be a wholehearted follower, where they're carrying a cross. I'm sure the crowd that heard this sermon 2,000 years ago, many of them said, I don't know if I could be a follower of Christ. I don't know. I mean, how devoted does Christ want us? At least 51%. At least 51%, right? He wants just a majority of your heart by 1%? Or 75% or 99%? Actually, he says, I want you to be 100% only and all for me. When you read the book of Colossians, Colossians is a fantastic, amazing book. And there's a verse in it where it talks about Christ, who is the head of the body, being the firstborn over the creation. It says he is preeminent. Does anyone know what preeminent means? I don't either. So I looked at another version. I said, what does preeminent mean in the Amplified Version? I love the Amplified Version. It says, so he alone, this is the word preeminent, so he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place. Stand first, be preeminent. I'm going to read that again because I really think that's what Christ is asking us. So that he alone, in everything and in every respect, might occupy the chief place, that he might stand first. I guess I want to ask, and I guess Christ will ask, if he were to come back to earth, he even said this in the Gospel of Luke, if the Son of Man were to come back, would he truly find faith on earth? Would he find faith in us? The kind of faith that he's really looking for? I wonder, after counting the cost, would any of us be able to say with St. Paul, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, so that I might gain Christ. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, I am willing to suffer anything. You see, at that time, they were asked to follow Christ under these conditions of carrying a cross and denying themselves without having seen the crucifixion and the resurrection. Again, if I was at that time, I would have had a very difficult time making that decision. But in hindsight, I've seen and understand the beauty of the incarnation. I've understand the beauty of the cross, the glory of the resurrection, the ascension to heaven, his sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. I know he's given us forgiveness of sins. I know that he's given us strength over sin. I know that he's given us abundant life. He talks about the riches of the glory of the inheritance. He says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for us. Having known all that, how do you count the cost? I ask you, what is the cost of your complete devotion compared to the complete devotion of Christ to you? I pray that you will see the cost as very little. I pray that you would see this as the best deal ever. Forget Black Friday, we have Great Friday, where the cost has been reduced completely. It has all been paid for. All we have to do is fight as those of us who are brave enough to go into the... How devoted are we? And are we really willing to follow? It would sadden me for Christ to look at us and say, salt is good, but I'm afraid the salt in America may have lost its flavor. I don't think I would be able to bear that. See, in the same day that this gospel is read, we read about the church in Thessalonica. Or let me read what it says to you about the church in Thessalonica. We give thanks to you, brethren. It is fitting, because your faith is growing exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds towards each other. He says, your patience and faith in all persecutions and tribulations that you endure. What is he asking for us? He says, be devoted. Be devoted. So how? So how? Well, thank God they gave us the epistle in the first epistle of Peter today, which is a great chapter. Chapter 4 is wonderful. But he says that the end of things is at hand. So he says, this is how I want you to be more devoted. He says, be serious and watchful in your prayers. The end of all things is at hand, as if like we could be persecuted for what we believe. Difficult times are coming. In that situation, he says, be serious and watchful in your prayers because you don't know how long you have. He says, just be devoted. If you only had a week to live, how devoted would you be? You would be 110% devoted. He says, that's really what I want from you. Be serious and watchful in your prayers, but he says, but above all things, he says, have warm love for each other. Wait, that's not the translation. It says, have very warm love for each other. No, he says, have fervent love for each other. I want you to have blazing, hot, fiery love for each other. He says, above all things, be very serious and devoted in your prayers, but be very hot, blazing, loving Christians. Above all things, I wonder, if Christ were to come back today, what would your response be? My prayer, and I'm sure the priest's prayers, and I'm sure your prayers for each other, is that you would just desire more of God. And you would say, I want to have more of you, and I want to be more for you. But dear God, there are some things that are binding my heart right now. In this prayer, when we're standing before the altar and we're seeing the one who gave himself completely for us, I want you to think as Abuna breaks the body into pieces and you understand the devotion of Christ to you, I want us with sincere hearts to pray this prayer. Dear God, I may not be all for you right now, but I need your help because I want to be a true and devoted follower to you till my last breath. I thank you for the greatest deal ever given to me. Don't lose out on it today, but embrace it and respond to this offer. May God be glorified in all of our lives, now and until all of our last breaths, forever. Amen.
Blessed are they.